Beate Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We're a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, different cultures, or the Catholic Church. I'm very pleased to have back again Bishop Patrick Dunn, the Catholic Bishop of the Diocese of Auckland. Bishop Pat, a warm welcome, and hi to my radio program.
Kia ora, Beate. Thank you very much.
Bishop Patrick Dunn is the Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Auckland, and he was installed as Bishop of Auckland on the 29th of March 1995, almost 25 years ago. This makes him the longest serving residential bishop in Aotearoa, New Zealand, correct?
That's right.
Recently, all current residential bishops of New Zealand, the bishops of Auckland, Hamilton, Wellington, Christchurch and Dunedin, were in Rome and had a meeting with Pope Francis. Bishop Pat, this meeting with Pope Francis was a so-called ad limina visit. What is an ad limina visit?
The word ad limina, it's a Latin expression and it means to the threshold. And I think it's actually to the threshold of the tombs of the great apostles of Rome, St. Peter and St. Paul. And it's long been a tradition in the Catholic Church for bishops from time to time to go to Rome to pray at the tombs of the apostles Peter and Paul, and while there, of course, also to meet the present Pope, whom we see as the successor of St. Peter, the leader of the 12 apostles.
So it was visiting the Pope was second in the row in the beginning.
In a sense, I think, but I guess it was always probably the primary reason for going. But they do talk about the ad limina visit as being a spiritual experience too, a little bit like a retreat for bishops to go back to where things began, as it were.
Yeah. And I understand that the bishops are called by region to report also to the diocese. In the case of New Zealand, is this just New Zealand, or does this region include also some Pacific Islands?
No, it includes just New Zealand. The bishops visit by conferences, episcopal conferences, and the bishops of the Pacific have their own episcopal conference. We call it CPAC. It's from the French expression, the Conference Episcopale of the Pacific. And the bishops of the Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea are another conference. So they all go. We all go as different groups, as it were.
But then you have a conference like the Bishops' Conference in Germany or in even the United States that there are hundreds. How many bishops are there? And the bishops in New Zealand, they have the chance to have a small meeting. Is that correct?
That's right. And other bishops are a bit envious because we're such a small group. I'm told that groups like the United States are so big that they actually are going to be having their ad limina visits fairly soon. And they go in regional groups, which comprise, I think, maybe 20 to 30 bishops per group. Yeah, and I think there's about 10 or 15 of those groups.
Which is even more than what the New Zealand bishops.
That's right.
And did the Pope have to receive other bishops' conferences at the same day? Or is it just one day reserved for the New Zealand bishops?
I think we were the only conference he was receiving on an ad limina visit. He was meeting with other visitors the day that we were there, but no other ad limina visits.
Which made it again very special.
Yes, it was.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Te Ngaka Waiora, Mercy Spirituality Center. My guest today is Bishop Patrick Dunn, and we are talking about the ad limina visit. Bishop Pat, I assume that you have been to ad limina visits before with Pope St. John Paul II and with Pope Benedict XVI. Is there a strict protocol for these visits, a protocol that is always the same no matter who is the Pope?
No, there's no strict protocol, and I think each Pope receives the ad limina visits in the way that he finds most comfortable, I guess. Pope St. John Paul II was very generous with his time with bishops on their ad limina visit. He used to meet us three times. And I think that applied to all ad limina groups. He would invite us to join him one morning for Mass in his chapel in the Apostolic Palace. Then he would also, he had this tradition of inviting the ad limina bishops to have lunch with him, which was quite an interesting experience, mm-hmm. quite special. And then he would also meet with us one-on-one. So we would go as a group, and then one by one we'd go to meet him, and then he'd have a photo with us as a group. With Pope Benedict, he didn't have the Mass or the lunch, and he introduced the idea of having a group meeting instead of one-on-one, that we'd meet as a group. And there was some point to that, because I imagine one-on-one would have been fairly boring for the Pope, while it might have been special for the bishop involved. But as a group, with Pope Benedict, that I think it was an improvement. With Pope Francis, he's continued the group meeting, but he's added much greater informality. That he, when we went to see him, he said, we can talk about whatever you like, and there's no set format, there's no prepared speech of welcome, let's just talk about whatever you'd like. And he kicked off by making a few comments, but it was very relaxed.
So you didn't have to write anything beforehand and tell the Pope, so these are the options, what we can talk about and you can pick, or something like that?
No, and Pope Francis especially has made the point that no topic is off the table, that if there's something you'd like to raise, then please feel free to do so.
But the bishops got together before and decided what they were going to talk, because if you have such a precious time, you have to be very cautious.
Yes, but we weren't highly prepared. We had said we would like to discuss this matter or this matter. But in fact, as with a conversation with a group of friends, if you like, you know, the way the conversation goes from mm-hmm. topic to topic to topic. And that was a bit the way it was. And then someone would think, oh, I must mention this or I must mention that. So it was. I feel that we did cover all the subjects, though, that we had wanted to raise.
So were you then sitting at the table, or were you sitting in a big circle, and so that you could see each other?
Yeah, we were just sitting in a circle in armchairs, really, and the Pope was just in another chair, like not on a throne or anything.
Yeah, and is it a conversation just between you and the Pope, or are there other people around?
No, that's the interesting thing too, that no other officials are there apart from a translator. We had a Nigerian priest from Brisbane, Australia, funnily enough, Father Anthony, who has family in Brisbane and family in Nigeria. And Pope Francis would speak in Italian, and I think most of us can get the drift of what he was saying, but then Father Anthony would just translate into English to make sure it was clear for us. And similarly, when we were speaking, I got the impression that Pope Francis could understand English, but Father Anthony would just translate to Italian for him, just to make sure that he had understood what we were saying. And sometimes we were interrupting Father Anthony when he was trying to search for a word. We might say, what about this? And he'd say, oh, yes, it's a good word. But it was very non-intrusive. It's amazing how freely the conversation could flow, as I think, Beata, you might know, because you're a translator yourself.
Yeah, I did that a long time, yeah. And I think that's also a sign of the Universal Church, having a Pope from Latin America and a translator or interpreter from Nigeria and bishops from New Zealand. That's really universal, and then meeting in Rome.
Absolutely. Actually, one of the things that Pope Francis said when we walked in, he said, oh, I'm from Buenos Aires, from the south too. And I was thinking, well, so was Father Anthony. So we were all from the south, yes.
And meeting where the popes have been for so many years. Mm. And also, is there a lot of... Yeah, you said that there was mainly the time that the bishops were all together with the Pope. Was there also a time of one-on-one, or was it the whole time being together?
No, the whole time was just being together.
Yeah. And did you have also, well, Pope Francis declared the third Sunday in ordinary time each year as to be dedicated to the Word of God. And this would be end of January in Europe, of course, it's not a problem. But here in the south of the southern hemisphere, it might be a bit challenging to have this special day in January. In one of the recent editions of New Zealand Catholic, it was suggested that the New Zealand bishops ask Pope Francis to allow the Catholics in the southern hemisphere to dedicate another Sunday of the year to the Word of God. Did you have the chance to ask Pope Francis?
No, we didn't, but our National Liturgy Office does wonder whether it would be better to have that celebration later in the year. That, as you know, it's really holiday time in New Zealand. But I think that Pope Francis would expect that that would be a decision that we would make ourselves. He would have no problem with that. And he would understand fully that if it doesn't work in January, we'll then have some other day. I think we see a special Sunday looking at the importance of the Word of God is really important, so we would like to have it at a time where we could really focus on what the Holy Father's asking of us.
Yeah, and maybe we should have more than one.
Well, we have the Word of God every Sunday, I was just thinking anyway.
And did the New Zealand bishops show something of the New Zealand culture and have like a mihi or finish with a waiata?
Yes, funnily enough, we did actually. We had decided that at some of our gatherings with the Vatican departments too, that, you know, often after a mihi there is a waiata, so we had thought that with Pope Francis, but also we did it with some of the departments, we would end with singing the hymn Mo Maria, a little hymn to Mary, that reputedly comes from Bishop Pompalia, our first bishop. So we said that to Pope Francis. We said, do you mind if we end up with a little hymn to Mary? I think he was a little bit surprised, but he said, oh, no, go ahead. And so we just sang a verse of Mo Maria, and he really did like it.
So now you're known as the singing bishops.
Absolutely.
And so the bishop, Pope Francis, did he present you with a special greeting or a wisdom to take back to New Zealand?
I think he obviously sent his love and his prayers to the church in New Zealand. I think the special gift that he gave was, for me, it was the realization that he understands the situation we experience in a place like New Zealand, the challenges that we face in an industrialized society, issues, secularism, the importance of passing on the faith in this sort of a setting. I got the impression he's very aware of the challenges that we face and that it is a struggle, and he understands that fully.
Mm-hmm. And where did the bishops stay during their time in Rome?
Well, that was very interesting because we stayed at a place called Domus Sanctae Martha. It's a Latin expression, the House of St. Martha. But that's actually a five-story hotel inside the Vatican, just next to St. Peter's, that was built during the time of Pope St. John Paul II. And it was built to house the cardinals for the consistory when they gather to elect a new pope. So we think that the accommodation probably can cope with maybe 100. There must be 100 rooms or so. And it's in this DSM, as they call it, Domus Sancta Martha. In DSM, Pope Francis himself has a little wing. DSM itself is shaped like an H, and so one of the arms of the H, if you like, I think on the second or third floor, he's got that corridor. So he lives in the Domus too.
So you lived in the same building as Pope Francis?
Yes, yes.
Did you meet some other people in this building and get to know others from other parts of the world?
Oh, yes. The while we were there, the Synod on the Amazon was going on. So quite a number of bishops from the countries of the Amazon. The Amazon's a huge region in South America, as you would know, that it covers, I think, seven countries or parts of seven countries. So there were bishops there from all those countries, a number of bishops, a number of the synod attendees were not staying at Santa Martha. At Santa Martha there are also visiting bishops and also priests and bishops who work in the Holy See. So some of them are permanent staff members in the various departments. So I think the place is fairly full, but it's as someone said, it's a very convenient place, but the security is very high. So it's very comfortable, but also a little bit like a prison. You've got three security checks before you get into the building itself because of the Pope living in the building.
You feel it's stricter than at the airport?
Yeah, they don't actually do the electronic checks, but having the key to Santa Martha, they said that the key to Santa Martha, that's the key. And so when you come to the Swiss Guards or the police at each of the checkpoints, gradually they get to know you, and they get to know you fairly quickly. But if you just flash the key, they'll sort of salute you and go on. But if there's a new staff member on, they might just again say, who are you, or whatever. Yeah.
So when you met with the bishops or people from the Amazons, for example, did they talk to you about how is the situation in New Zealand? New Zealand is famous for its beautiful nature, and the Amazons are famous for being the lung of the world. Was there communication around this?
There was a little bit. There was a language problem, of course, because many of the attendees of the Synod were actually Portuguese or Spanish speakers, and none of us could speak Spanish or Portuguese. But there were also English-speaking bishops in the Amazon region. There was an Irishman and some Americans who were bishops in the Amazon, and they were talking to us. And also Cardinal Sir John Rebart from Port Moresby, who's an old friend of ours. He was one of the cardinals who was sort of co-chairs, if you like, for the Synod. So we would often have a chat with him every evening too. But they were covering a whole lot of issues. There were environmental issues, but also they say that there are big pastoral challenges, that there's people trafficking. There's a whole lot of issues that were being addressed at the Synod.
Yeah. So you had this visit to the Pope, which was about an hour and a half. How long was it?
We had three quarters of an hour with Pope Francis himself, mm-hmm. but then we also visited a number of departments of the Holy See. So most days we would be visiting two or three different departments, more or less to talk to them about the church in New Zealand and to see what thoughts or insights or whatever they might be able to share with us. Very much courtesy visits, and they're certainly all very hospitable. They would all say, look, you're most welcome and we're here to serve, and big warm welcome, as it were.
So did you go as the bishops, New Zealand Bishops Conference, from one department to the other and introduce yourself and get to know people?
Yes, we'd pre-booked our appointment, so they knew we were coming, and they'd have looked at the reports that we had sent in about our own diocese. And so if we went to the Congregation for the Clergy or the Congregation for Laity or Justice and Peace or whatever, they would have glanced through the reports that we had submitted, and then we might talk about issues that were of interest to us or of concern to us, and they were often quite interested to hear.
So for the whole visit, you had the visit to the Pope, the visit to the tomb, St. Mm-hmm. Peter's tomb, and
St. Paul.
How long does that take? Was that a long visit?
No, we celebrated Mass as a group at the tomb of St. Peter one morning at 7 a.m., I think. We were living right next to St. Peter's, and then on the Saturday morning, we went to St. Paul's outside the walls and had a mass as a conference there at the tomb of St. Paul. But there was a social side too. On the Saturday night, we met with New Zealanders who are in Rome. The Society of Mary, the Maurist Order, have their headquarters in Rome, and they hosted a lovely evening for us and for Kiwis in Rome. There's not a great number now, and they had all their provincials from all around the world also at a course, so it was a very pleasant evening.
Oh, I'm sure that they were also very pleased to see the bishops of New Zealand in Rome.
I'm sure they were.
And did the New Zealand bishops travel together on the same plane when they went to Rome?
No, we all travel differently. We've all got our own agendas. I have two sisters who live overseas, so it was an opportunity for me to catch up with my sisters on the way, and a number of the bishops were visiting Actually, I think practically all of them were visiting friends or family members while in Europe, and then we all arrived in Rome on the same day.
That's relieving, not having them all on one plane.
That's right.
And did you invite Pope Francis to come to New Zealand?
No. What we did do, though, at the congregation, I think it's the Congregation for Laity, whatever the congregation is that organises the World Youth Days, I made a pitch there for a World Youth Day in New Zealand. I said we would love to welcome Pope Francis to the periphery, and made the point that Auckland is the largest Polynesian city in the world, and it would be a mecca for people from all the Pacific Islands if he were able to come. When we met with him personally, I was thinking, I don't think I can put that burden on him. I'll leave it to the department to let him know that he's been invited. I think when we raised the issue, they very politely rolled their eyes. I think they just put our name on the list.
Who knows? Pope Francis might have the idea, oh, yes, let's go to the periphery.
Well, that's right. And we made that point. We know that he likes the peripheries.
You can't get further than New Zealand.
Yeah, we made that point. That's right.
So how long? So the official part of the visit was one day, 2 days?
No, we were in Rome for 8 or 9 days.
8 or 9 days, yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. And so the next visit to the Pope will be in how many years? In 6 years?
No, the visit before this was 8 years ago. I think as the number of bishops grows, that the visits become more pronounced, more extended. I guess the Pope just tries to work through a list, and our turn will come around again, I guess, in 8 or 9 years' time.
So maybe that's the reason why Pope Benedict preferred having group meetings, if you just mentioned that the number of bishops is growing.
Yes, absolutely. I think the group meeting is more productive, and it's probably more enjoyable for the bishops and for the Pope himself too.
Yeah. And so what do the bishops from New Zealand take back from Rome and from the experience?
I think we take back a great appreciation of Pope Francis and his groundedness, and he encouraged us with the initiatives that we were taking here in New Zealand. He was very interested to know what we were doing with young people, and sort of saying that we need to be very open and transparent with the questions of young people, like not just giving them pat answers, but try to hear what are they actually asking, what do they want to know, and then try to answer as honestly as we can.
And did he say anything about, did he know much about New Zealand?
Well, he asked Bishop Paul Martin from Christchurch how things were going since the horrific mosque attacks on the 15th of March. So he had swatted up, or he'd been prepared briefly. He would have known where New Zealand is, and he'd probably glanced at a summary of some of our reports, so he'd have a general idea of what things were like in New Zealand.
Can we take any of the messages straight into Lent, when we're coming up to Lent? Now we're almost at the end of the liturgical year, and yeah, is there anything?
Going into Advent, you mean, or Lent?
Oh, sorry. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, getting ready for Christmas.
Getting ready for Christmas. Advent, I'm sorry.
Yes. I think Advent's a season of hope, and Pope Francis definitely is a man of hope.
Yeah.
And he encouraged us to be transparent, to be honest. He encouraged us to engage with the young. But it was very much in a spirit of hope that the Holy Spirit will work with us and through us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Bishop Ed. And I think that's a very good message, to think about the Holy Spirit, and that we always leave some space for the Holy Spirit, even if we do the best agenda and the best reporting would need to have some space for the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Always something new.
And let's see what we are having at our Mercy Spirituality Center in the next week. We have on the 30th of November, next Saturday, Letitia Putenpadat from 1:45 to 4 o'clock, and she'll facilitate an Ignatian contemplation for Advent. And this will be a two-hour prayer experience in the tradition of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Please note that this program is not in our booklet. On Thursday, the 5th of December, from 10:30 to 12:30, I will give a presentation on nativity scenes. This is an opportunity to learn more about an ancient Catholic tradition that has spread to many countries in the world, each time adapting with very special characteristics. On Saturday, the 7th of December, from 9:30 to 3:30, Sister Catherine Wiles Pickard is inviting us to a Mandela Reflection Day. And on Wednesday, the 11th of December, 10:30 to 2:30, Sister Mary Catherwood is offering a Reflection Day with the title, Be Still and Know I Am God, That I Am God, Prayer in the Spirit of Advent. Also, our program booklets for 2020 are being printed. If you are not receiving one in the mail, you are welcome to pick up a copy at our Mercy Spirituality Center or send us an email and ask for us to send you a copy. For all events at the center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. Thank you very much, Bishop Pat, for having come to this radio program. I wish you all the best, and especially for your eyes, and a lot of, we wish you healing.
Thank you, Beata. It's been a pleasure.
Forgive the incompleteness in another. In mercy.